So, on the blackboard, you find a summary of the development of optimality conditions we've gone through during the last lectures. Okay? So, now we are dealing with, for optimality conditions, well, the feasible region, capital F, is explicitly described through some algebraic expression, and we focus on the case in which all these expressions are given by inequalities. Okay? So, the feasible region is the point of the space which satisfies certain inequalities given by the function gi. Okay? And the goal was to exploit these functions, okay, to move away from this necessary optimality condition we have, which is given in terms of the tangent cone to the feasible region at the given point, okay, at the local optimum point. And indeed, considering these two linearizing cones of the feasible region, which just take into account the first order Taylor's formula of the constraining function around the given point for acting constraints, we manage to, let's say, encapsulate the tangent cone between the first of the two linearizing sets and the other one, what we call the L minus, L less and less, and L less or equal. Okay? So somehow, we've gone through this reasoning. Okay, we can write the optimality condition this way, we can write it this way, and the impossibility of this system, these are exactly the same thing. This is greater or equal than zero for every direction. It means that it is not possible to find a direction in such a way that this stellar product is negative. Okay. Then, exploiting this inclusion, we have weakened a little bit this condition, replacing the tangent cone with the first linearizing cone, okay? The one with the minus, with the less, okay? This is, you cannot find a solution on a larger set, clearly you cannot find it on a smaller set. Then, since we have an explicit description of this set by this condition, we can write this system not in a, let's say, geometric fashion, but in a completely algebraic set, because all these requirements are exactly asking this. Okay? And then we exploit it, not in the theorem of the alternative, which says that a linear system of a certain kind is impossible if and only if certain equations fall with appropriate coefficients, with appropriate weights, to get the so-called Fritz-John optimality conditions, okay? Those which are in green here, okay? This should apply only to active constraints, so we added a condition which says that the coefficients, when the constraint is not active, this is not zero, has to be zero. Okay? So we arrive here, and we discuss this issue. Here we have theta times the gradient plus the sum of lambda times the gradients of the constraining function. So we have a set of equations. Okay? These are vectors and these are coefficients. We notice that when theta is zero, the objective function disappears. Okay? These conditions might be satisfied for theta equals zero. Okay? But we notice that if these gradients are a set of linear independent vectors, this cannot be zero, because if this is zero, Then you have a linear combination of the gradient of the constraining function, which provides the zero vector. Okay, so a contradiction. So actually, this under this additional assumption, turn into this condition in which there is no number, no coefficient multiplying the gradient of the objective function, so that it is always present in these equations. Okay? And these are called the Kerr-Kontaker optimality conditions. So, Fritz Jahn has if x is a local minimum point, then you have these conditions. If furthermore the gradients are linear independent, you have this condition R2. Actually, they are the same thing. This, I recall you, is called the multipliers rule. Okay. Naming the coefficients as multipliers, they multiply the vectors, and this is called as complementarity. Or the multiplier is, or the active is constrained, or the corresponding multiplier is zero. So, this is a sort of summary of the last lecture. We also discussed the fact that, indeed, this assumption is pretty strong, the assumption that these gradients of the constraining functions are linearly independent. Why this is pretty strong? I showed you at the end of the lecture that if this is true, these multipliers are unique. Okay? Because if you have another set of multipliers, you can write the other equations, you can subtract, this disappears, and it comes as a linear combination of the gradients to be zero. And then it can happen only if coefficient by coefficient, every coefficient is zero, and the coefficient is the difference. The coefficients are the difference between the multipliers. So this is a pretty strong assumption, okay? And I also noticed you that this is an assumption dealing only with constraints. Does not depend on the objective function, okay? In this, these kind of assumptions are known as constraint qualifications. Well, one remark, which is pretty relevant, this is actually not a property of the geometry of the feasible region, but of the way you represented it through these inequalities. If you have a region of the space, it is possible that you can describe it in many different ways. Okay? So, constraints, where with constraints you mean not only the geometry but also the algebraic part of its description. Okay? Well, I want to show you a simple example in which constraint qualification failed. Okay? So, I leave the calculations to you, but I will give you a sense of it. We have two variables, and I will consider, two constraints. Okay? So the objective function f is x1 plus x2 squared. And the constraints are the following. The first one, up for x1 squared plus x2 minus 1 squared minus 1 to be less or equal than 0. And the other constraint is very similar, except here you don't have minus 1, you have plus 1. Okay. Let's see what the feasible reader is in R2. The feasible reason is the following. Consider the first constraint. The first constraint is asking for x1 squared plus x2 minus 1 squared to be less or equal than 1. This is nothing but the circle with center 0 and 1. 0, 1. And radius 1. Okay? Yeah, indeed, if you take 0, 0, this is 1, and this is 1. Yeah. So you want to be inside this circle. Okay. The other constraint is similar, but here you have a plus. So it's another circle, but the center this time is 0 minus 1. Okay, and the radius is once again 1. Okay, so you want to be inside this circle and at the same time inside this circle. What are you left with? Just with this point. The point at which the two circles touch one another. So here, with this description, the feasible region reduces to one point, which is the origin of the plane in our system of coordinates. Well, it is, the optimization problem is very easy. You just have one feasible solution. This is the minimum point. Okay? So the minimum point is here in the middle. Okay? Let's check optimality condition in the Fritz, John, and Terus Kuntaker form. Okay? So we compute the gradient. The gradient of S is first component is 1, second component is 2 times x2, computed in 0, 0, it gets 0. Okay? Now, take notice also that if this is the point, both constraints are active. Okay, because if you take G1 at the origin, you get 0. If you take G2 at the origin, you get 0. Here, if you put 0, you get 0 and 0. So, the two constraints are active. Indeed, you are on the border of both circles. Okay? So, let's take the gradient of the first one. The gradient of the first one, when you do the derivative with respect to x1, you get 2 times x1, so 0, if you compute it in the origin. And when you compute the derivative here, you get 2 times x minus 1. Okay, so the derivative is 2x1 and 2 times x2 minus x1. You compute it in 0, 0, you get 0 minus 2. Okay. Similarly here, you get the similar stuff but with a plus here. So what you get is 0. Okay? Question. Is it possible to satisfy the Fritz-John condition? You want to find a weight for the gradient of the objective function and two weights for the gradients of the constraining function in such a way that their sum is the zero vector. Okay? So, here you want to... Okay, let me... Let me here, so we have some more space. Well, if you make the sum, 1 0 theta times plus lambda 1 times 0 minus 2 plus lambda 2 times 0 2, and you want to be the 0 vector, this is the multiplier score.
Theta.
Yes. Theta 0, lambda 1 equals lambda 2 equals 1 is a solution. Okay? Notice that the complementarity slackness condition doesn't matter because for both indexes these are 0. So it's always satisfied. So we have the Fritz jump conditions. Do we have the KKK conditions? So, it is possible to get the anything without the theta here? Well, clearly not, because if you make this sum, so, Fritz jump, okay. Okay. And it couldn't be any different, because Fritz jump is a necessary optimality condition with no further assumption. So, it has to be. Now, here, if we consider instead the multiplier's rules in the KKT, see then what you get here is 1, 2, lambda 2 minus lambda 1. And this has to be the 0 vector. Okay? This can be 0, but this can never be 0. So this shows you that KKT conditions do not hold. Okay? So I've shown you an example in which the KKT conditions do not hold. Notice clearly that the two gradients are linearly dependent vectors. Okay? One is minus one times the other. Okay? So indeed this phase. Okay? And let's see also what happens. Okay? Geometrically. The feasible region is the point only. Okay? If you think about it, the tangent cone. Okay, the tangent cone is the point itself. Okay, how can you approach this point staying here, just being in the point? Okay, sorry, no, I said it's wrong. It's zero. Is the vector, yeah, but it's the same. Is the vector zero? The unique direction you can move away along this point, keeping visibility at the limit, is the point itself. Okay? The zero direction always belongs to the tangent point. Okay? Because you are not moving. So the condition is always the condition that x bar plus tn dn belongs to the region is always satisfied because dn is zero, and so it just says that the point is in the region. Okay? But let's try. So it's this one. Let's consider the linear intersect. Okay? The linear intersect. Well, may I erase the multiplier? With symbol. It does not hold. Let's consider the first linearizing set. Well, these are these in R2 with a negative scalar product with this vector and with this vector. But the first scalar product is minus 2 times the one negative and the other is 2 times the negative. Okay? This is impossible. This would be that it has to be positive and negative at the same time. So the linear line, the first linear line is actually M.
Okay?
While the second linear line is F, when we do not take minus, but we do not take, sorry, less, but
less or equal.
Well, here you should put less or equal or less or equal. D2 has to be less or greater or equal than 0 and less or equal than 0. Okay, so these are the vectors D in R2 such that D2 is equal to 0. Okay? So, you got this. D2, you got this.
Okay.
The tangent cone is a proper subset
of the linearizing cone. Here you have less and not less or equal. Okay. And if this, we know that if this happens, this has to be empty.
Because last time during the break we discussed it. And I told, and I showed you that if this is non-empty, then these two must be equal. Okay. Last time we also saw that if less, if this is non-empty, then the tangent cone is actually equal to the linearizing set with less or equal.
Okay. Well. Optimality, KKP optimality is condition K.
Well, the sample is a bit tricky because the physical region is made by only one point, and so it's the minimum point regardless which objective function you have.
Okay, but you could build the more complex examples in which you have the same trouble. You don't manage to move from Fritz-John conditions to KK key conditions, to Karish-Kondratyev conditions. You do not manage because, the constraint is bad, okay? Does not have good properties, okay? Like in this case. And by constraint, I mean not only the region of the space, but also the way you represented it through algebraic inequalities and equalities.
In this case, we are just dealing with inequalities. So.
Well, okay. And then we also discussed that this is a bit too, this is a bit too much to ask for. So I want to spend a few words on constraint qualifications, other than this one, before moving to the case in which we have also equality constraints. Okay, I want to spend a few words here. Well, let's see KKK conditions. Okay? If you use Motzkin theorem, again, but in the other direction, we know that this is this force, and we have what? We have, let's take this to be one, okay, and these are the lambda i's. Somehow we are in this situation. Here we have one and a unit vector. AK, which is the gradient of the objective function, and then you have lambda I, and these vectors are the gradients of the constraining functions. Okay? You use this theorem, and you get that you don't have the quality constraints, so this is not here, and you have that this system is impossible. Okay? So, KKP conditions are equivalent to the impossibility of this system. Once again, by Motzkin theorem, as it was here. Okay. This again by Motzkin. is equivalent to say that the system
gradient to that scalar product will be negative. Gradient of Gi in x bar times d is less or equal than 0 times, has no solution. They exactly describe this linearizing point. Okay? So here we could replace this by the fact that D, so this is exactly saying that the system where this color product is negative for all these which belong to the linearizing cone L less or equal has no solution. Okay? Well, this implies this because this set contains the tangent form. Okay? So, if you cannot find a solution in this set, you cannot find a solution. Sorry, where is it? Not this one. You cannot find a solution here. Okay? Because if you have a solution here, it is also a solution here. Well, but we would like to go the other way around. Okay? Because we start from, we are discussing necessary optimality condition. Here we have that this is a necessary optimality condition. So we go this way, we can go this way, and arrive here, and here you would go back here. Well, we would like to go in the other direction. So this is always true, because T, the tangent cone is contained into the linearizing. But we would like to go the other direction to get to KKT condition. Okay? And you go in this direction when? Well, the tangent cone is not really a subset of the linearizing cone, but it is actually the same thing. Okay? If this is true, well, you can replace this by this, and then you get to KKT condition. Indeed, this condition of linear independence can be shown to imply the fact that the tangent cone and the linearizing set are the same, linearizing cone are the same cone. Okay? And indeed, what happens in your in the example? In this example, they are different. Okay? So we don't have KKT condition because they are different. Okay? So, any condition on the feasible region, on the functions which describe the feasible region, which guarantee this equality, are known as constraint qualifications. Okay? So constraint qualifications are conditions on the feasible region and its description through algebraic inequalities in such a way that the tangent cone is exactly this linearizing set. Okay?
One example is this. The gradients of the constraining functions are linearly independent. Okay? We have seen another, which is this one. Okay? If this set, this other linearizing set is non-empty, then the two are equal. I briefly show you the other lecture. This is known as, so this is obviously known as the linear independent constraint qualification. Okay? This other one is known as non-Lagrangian Gromovich, and it says, if you want to write it this way, you say that this is impossible. No, this is non-empty, sorry. Or equivalently, you can say there exists a vector D in Rn such that it has a negative scalar product with all the gradients of the active constraints. Okay? This is exactly stating there is a vector in this sense. Okay? Oh, I don't go into details. You could prove that the linear independence implies this. You could also prove that if this holds, it is not. The multipliers may be not unique. Here, if this is true, the multipliers are unique. Okay. If this is not true, but this one is true, you still have KKT conditions, but the multipliers may not be unique. And there is a third one, which is very interesting. Actually, I have to say there are many, many different conditions, okay? These are the main. This is the most obvious and the original one. This one and this other one, which is known as the Slater condition, are the most well-known. This requires that the GIs are convex functions plus and there exists a vector x hat in Rn such that all the constraining functions GIs computed at that point are negative. In our example, we have seen that linear independence is not true because the two vectors are linked to one another by simply multiplying one by minus one of the two by minus one to get the other. So they are not linear independent. Mangazarian-Gromovich condition is false as well because this set is empty. And later condition is true too. It's false too. Let's see. The two functions are convex. Okay, they are quadratic functions, and you can check that the eccentricity is positive semi-derivative. But really, you would like a point. You would like the two constraints to be satisfied as inequality, strict inequality. You mean that you want a point that is at the same time in the interior of the first circle and then in the interior of the second circle. And this is not possible. Okay? Because the two circles don't intersect with, let's say, a fat area. They just intersect into a single point, which is our principle, which is our X bar, and it is the point at which both of them takes value 0. So none of them are true. Well, if any of them were true, we would have had KKT conditions, which F we don't have. Okay. So the trouble with this kind of optimality condition is exactly this one. You have a nice formula, but you need additional assumption on the feasible region. Okay? Let's check the original one we had with the tangent cone. Okay? This one we had with the tangent cone is good looking, does not require any additional assumption, but it's not handy. You cannot manage it easily, because here there's, you should check this scalar product for an infinite number of vectors, okay? For a form, which you don't know how it is done. Okay? You can turn through this procedure everything into something which is just given through formulas, so it's just algebra, okay, the multipliers rules and the complementarity slackness conditions, but you have to pay a price, and the price is that constraints have to be qualified, okay? It doesn't work all the time. You need that the constraint satisfies some conditions. In practice, these conditions are satisfied very often. Okay? They are not a big trouble to deal with. This Slater condition, for instance, is actually telling you that the feasible region is convex and that there is an interior point. Okay? So this geometrically means x convex and x as an interior point. Okay? And the weakest of them all is this one. Okay, this is the real condition you need. The tangent cone has to be your linearizing cone. Okay, you cannot go below this. Okay, so let's take a 5-minute break, and then I'll show you. Once again, with no proofs and with not many details, the most general case. Now we need to add equality constraints. And unlucky, there are some troubles to overcome, so I will give you a few words on these troubles.